Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000 of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March has never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast is titled Underground Railroad Solarize. Underground Railroad Solarize, 619-768-2945. And if you think about the Underground Railroad, solar energy played an important point. Number one, they can tell the time of day by the position of the sun. And that guided them on where to be so they're safe, where time to move out, what time to stay put. So they knew the position. They can tell time by the positions of the sun. And that included food. One of the things, that it's a hobby of mine. Been a hobby of mine for some time now. I like to occasionally solar cook. And I've got like two or three solar cookers right here where I'm at. So at what we're doing up in all the locations that we have land already or getting land, we're going to have solar cooking classes. Solar cooking is relatively easy. Anybody can pick it up. It's easy to learn. But we'll show you the different type of solar cookers. But I imagine, and when you're solar cooking, you're not using a stove or a oven as we know it. We're not using stovetop as we know it. There's an oven as we know it. Yet, you can fry foods with solar, not deep fry, but sizzle fry. You can bake cakes, cupcakes, anything you can do in a regular cook. I mean, as we call in 2019, 2020, what we call a traditional kitchen for cooking and baking, you can do all that except for deep frying with a, if you know how to use the sun and know how to make solar cooking apparatuses. Like I said, I've got a Fresnel lens. Then I have a reflector cooker. And there's another one, solar oven. I know how to make those myself. So now I don't know what exactly all of what they made back then, but just if you took a jar, and they had jars back then, you take a jar and paint it black and then put, you know, whatever foods you want in that and then seal it, you know, with the top and just let it sit out in the sun. That's going to cook a meal. That's something, that's a real basic solar experiment you can do today. Get a jar, paint it black, put soup in there, let's say, and it'll heat it up. Anyway, but we'll have solar cooking class tomorrow. Anyway, there's a tour tomorrow where they're going to take a look at the 5 acres we're in the process of purchasing. So let me open up. And that's why we're calling this the Underground Railroad Solarize, because that's our mission, to make this into a solar village. 773, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. L.A. How you doing?
Fine. So tell us what's going on.
We're going to be going out to Pembroke, Florida tomorrow, and people can meet up here at my house because we're going to leave at 10 o'clock and meet up with the people that's in Pembroke that have a land to rent and land to sell. So if anybody wants to tag along with us, they're welcome to do so. They can meet me at my house, or they could also meet us out there at my phone number if you want to contact me at my house. It's 773-577-9656. Or you can also contact me and out there in Pembroke with the same number, because it's time for us now to get back and start doing what we were doing when we were Boy Scouts. You know, I was listening to you earlier in the month ago about how to cook food with solar energy. We were cooking food like that back in the day when we would go out and do camping for a couple of weeks, and we were cooking our food with solar energy. Come to think of it, we was doing everything. Well, I guess we were frying our food too, because we would be able to get so hot to set the wood on fire, And then we had these little racks that we carried with us, and we put them on our backs and take them out in the woods. And those little racks, we'd put our food on the racks and cook it. So solar energy's been around for a long time. I don't know if it might have been the beginning of the world. I don't know. But I do know this. You can take solar energy and heat up, burn up. And let me lay something else on the fire for solar energy. Do you remember the, I believe it was the Cracker Jack box that we had back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And
it had a little magnifying glass in there.
Yeah, and set grass on fire.
Yep.
We did a lot of that, and we can do the same thing today. What happened to the solar energy, the Cracker Jack box, that we used to get that little globe, get that little plastic out of the Cracker Jack box and light a fire with it? That was solar
energy. Well, it's interesting that you brought that up, because one of the solar cookers I have and like to use, it's called a Fresnel lens. And a Fresnel lens is like a big magnifying glass. Because that's what you're talking about in the Cracker Jack box. That was a magnifying glass. So a Fresnel lens is a big magnifying glass. And to use it, I've cooked a steak in about less than two minutes. I've cooked the steak using a Fresnel lens. I can fry an egg in 30-45 seconds.
Yeah.
Using a Fresnel lens. And now to use it, well, first thing, the best times of the day to solar cook, and we'll teach people, you know, what kind of client. Oh, and here's something I like to do, particularly up that way. It can be below freezing, but if it's a clear day, which I call a good solar day, you can, if you cook between the hours of 9 and 3, 10 to 1 are probably the best peak hours, but from 9 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon are like solar cooking hours. It can be below freezing as long as it's not a gusty wind and it's a clear day. You can fry egg in a matter of seconds, cook a steak in 2 minutes or less, hamburger. You can probably do a hamburger in about a minute using a Fresnel lens. Now, like I say, it's a magnifying glass. So one of the things that when you're solar cooking with a Fresnel lens, you're going to need a pair of sunglasses or probably welder's goggle glasses, because as you focus the lens, which is like, say, a giant magnifying glass, the light is, a really bright white light, blinding light. So you need to have those. I wear welder glasses myself. And even with that, it's bright. But because you'll damage your eyes looking into it. And then a pair of gloves. Because when you're moving the steak around, the burger around, whatever you're cooking, like I say, it's the, that light is like over 1,000 degrees. It's super hot. But that Fresnel lens harnesses the sun rays, so you can cook below. Matter of fact, the first meal I ever cooked was a turkey burger. There's different ways to solar cook, but yeah, when you mention magnifying glass, a Fresnel lens, if you want to cook something real fast, you use a Fresnel lens. Also solar bake, but you know, you don't use a Fresnel lens for that. So Fresnel lens is for fast cooking. Usually.
Yeah, you know, I love to think about to going back in the day when we would go out in the woods and stay all night. Well, we'd stay a couple of weeks out in the woods learning how to live, because we didn't have matches, and we would use magnifying glasses. We could take a rock. That's another source of energy that we don't do. Take you a couple of little rocks with you and point it toward the sun like you should, and you can strike and you light fire with a rock. And we've gotten away from that. But we need to get back to that so that we can we'll be able to feed ourselves. And we've gotten to the point now we don't know how to feed ourselves.
Right.
You know, my wife got a bad habit of feeding birds. She feeds birds out here in the yard every day. Do you know the birds got as much or more sense than black folks? Because they'll sit out here and wait for her to come and feed them every day. And they will take food back when they got some in the nest. They'll come and get the food and take it back to the nest, to the young. What happened to us? We got to the place to where we just decided that we're going to let people tell us when to eat, how to eat, where to eat, and all that other stuff. That's that bird sense. But we're going to be showing people how to survive in a situation like we're in today so that we can feed ourselves and our children. Because if we don't teach them, nobody is. Nobody else is going to teach them. And I was glad to hear you say that we're going to be teaching people how to do solar as soon as we obtain this land that we're looking at trying to obtain in Pembroke. Because I feel that that's a beginning of renewing the source of how we can live without a dependency on somebody else providing gas, lights for us to survive. And I don't know if our children on a larger scale know how to light a fire so that they can cook some food. How did they light fires where did the matches come from? When did that start? That started with solar energy. People decided that they could take solar energy and light a fire and cook with it. Take your time and look it up on your website. When did solar energy begin? When did they light the first fire? Boy Scouts was a good teaching tool that we use back 50 years ago, 50 or more years ago. We need to get back to taking our boys and our girls, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, out to teach them how to survive if they don't have a match. What would they do if they couldn't strike a match to light a fire, if they needed a fire? What would they do if it was cold, like you just stated, and they didn't have any source other than the sun to make a fire if needed? So we got to get in the mode and the thinking of survival, because that time is here now, and it's closer than you think. That's the reason why I like the idea of the tiny houses. I want anybody that's listening to us this morning to think about going on the internet. You got the sources now where you can research it for yourself. Go on the internet and look up tiny houses. Those were the houses that we've had back hundreds of years ago was tiny houses without windows. So we need to get and be taught how to survive so that we can teach our children how to survive. What if they don't have a J-O-B? What if they haven't been taught how to sew, how to make quilts? What is the first